Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter number 1, I'm just going to let you remain seated tonight. I really don't have a text verse. I'm just going to skip around in Genesis 6 and 7. When I get there, but we all know where we're at in the Bible. We're right here in the very beginning. Genesis chapter number 1, we know that we go through creation in chapter 1 and chapter number 2 and all that's happening there, and just amazing what God is doing in creation. And chapter number 3, we know that Adam and Eve has been created. And in chapter number 3 of Genesis, God has told Adam and Eve what they could do and what they couldn't do. But the devil comes up to Adam and Eve and beguiles Eve. And the Bible said in chapter number 3, is more subtle than any beast of the field. I find this interesting that he refers to him as more subtle as any beast of the field. And we know, according to chapter number 3, whenever we read it in its entirety, that the snake was not creeping upon the ground whenever it comes up to Adam and Eve. In our mind, a lot of times, we have this picture of the serpent slithering up to Adam and Eve, but that's not what happened, because the snake was cursed to the ground after that. And you say, well, did it have legs? I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure how all of that was. One day we'll get to heaven and we'll know that. But I do know this. Part of the serpent's curse was it was cursed to the ground and the dust it eats now because of that curse. So in Genesis chapter number 3, sin enters into the world. The serpent is cursed. Man is cursed. And woman is cursed. Now, one thing interesting about chapter number 3, and I'm hitting a couple little highlights here, but one thing interesting about chapter number 3 is this, that the curse come upon the serpent. But in chapter number 3, and let me just flip over there, I don't have none of this underlined because I'm trying to break a new Bible in. Chapter number 3, verse number 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So there was his curse when he's cursed to the ground. Verse number 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, whenever you study verse number 15 out, and I don't have time really to go into all of this, but that's the first promise of Jesus coming. That's the first glimpse we get of Jesus coming, and the heel of Christ on Calvary bruising the head of the serpent, which is Satan. Amen. But verse number 16, look at it. The Bible said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And he goes on to give the curse to man and woman, starting in verse 16. But here's something that's very interesting. Before God ever cursed man and woman, it's starting in verse 16. In verse 15, he gave the promise of a redeemer to come. So before he ever cursed them, he said, look, I have a cure for this curse that's coming upon you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll have to study those verses in detail to get everything that I'm giving you just in passing tonight. Chapter 4 rolls around. Chapter 5 rolls around. The earth begins to multiply with people on it. And in chapter number 5, we find out that the wickedness of mankind was only evil, and the thought of mankind was only evil continually. And God was upset because of the way that mankind was doing. And God is going to bring judgment upon all of the earth in chapter 6 and chapter number 7 through what we know today as the flood. The flood takes place here in these chapters. Now, here's something that I just thought about, and I want to give you here. I want to think about this a little bit and some of the choices that Adam made, but I want to say this to you tonight. This was the greatest storm that ever come in the history of the world. In the history of the world, there has never been a storm before this one or after this one like this one, and there never will be again, because God put what in the sky? Put a rainbow in the sky as a symbol of peace. And our society today, and I'm not gonna get off on this, but our society today wants to pollute what God put in the sky as peace and make it something else. But I want to say this to you. God put that as a sign of peace and said that He would never destroy the world because of by water again, and He made that covenant with them. But here is what happens. A major storm comes in the life of Noah and his family. Now, I got to thinking about storms. Here's a couple things I wrote down about storms. I wrote this down. There is spiritual storms in our life after we're saved. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" And I'm primarily going to deal with the saved tonight. And you say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" There's times, I don't know if you're like this, but there's times that I read my Bible, and can I just be real with you tonight and be transparent? It seems as nothing more than words on pages. I'm just being real with you tonight. There's some times that I get down and I begin to pray, and it seems that the words don't go above the roof of my mouth when I'm praying. Let me tell you what it is. It's spiritual storms that we face in our life. There's times that the devil comes against us, and if you don't believe that there's a demonic attack against us today, man, something's wrong. There is a demonic attack that comes against the Christian today. So there's spiritual storms that we face sometimes. There is social storms that we face. Social storms. We have been in a social storm for a couple years. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the coronavirus that came through, and I understand that it's still here, but I'm thankfully it seems that things are settling down and we're trying to get back to normal, but that was a social storm. I thought about this. There is sovereign storms that we face. You said, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Every once in a while, God puts you in the storm. God sent His disciples, and I dealt with that Sunday morning. God sent His disciples into the storm. There is sometimes that God will send us in the storm. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. Just because you get put in a storm does not mean that God is angry with you or that you are committing some sin and God is judging you. The book of Job is 1 year of a storm. And the Bible said this about Job, that Job was a perfect man that feared God and eschewed evil. He was upright. He loved God. He was living in the center of God's will. And yet a major storm still come in his life. God uses the storm to mature us, not to make us mad. God uses the storm to make us better, not to make us bitter. Can I say something to you? Your storms will do one of those two. They'll make you better or they'll make you bitter. And I want to say this. I'm not preaching on bitterness tonight. I'm going to over the next few weeks. But I want to say this to you tonight. Bitterness will kill you. You have to learn to let go of things. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what such and such did to me or about this or about that." You know, I may not know about that. But can I say this to you? You don't know what such and such said to me and did to me either. I choose. You know who the loser in bitterness is? And I don't mean that derogatory. Again, I'm just being real with you tonight. We are the losers in bitterness when we hold it. Because that person you're bitter towards, for whatever reason, you know why? They're living their normal life right now. They're going about their normal life right now. They're going about their everyday life and doing the things that they enjoy. And you are the prisoner when it comes to bitterness. So there's sovereign storms. Sometimes God puts us in that not to make us bitter, but to make us better. But then I thought about this, and I'm headed somewhere. I thought about this. There is self-made storms. There's self-made storms. David found himself in a storm in Samuel. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. A matter of fact, he found himself in a storm that the Bible said this, the sword never departed from his house. David didn't have to be in that mess, but David was in that mess because of the choice that David made. Our storms tonight, knowing his family's in a storm right here, our storms tonight will cause us to make a choice. They will cause us to make a choice. Every choice comes with what is known as the law of harvest. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You've heard me say it before. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice that we make comes with the law of harvest. Your choice in the storm will either be disastrous or it'll be delightful. Can I say that again? Your choice in a storm will either be disastrous or delightful. The harvest of that will either be disastrous or delightful. Nobody can make your choices for you in the storm. You will have to make the choice yourself. Nobody can make the choice for Noah to get on the boat and sail with God. Noah had to make that choice himself. This storm that Noah and his family are in chapter 5, 6, and 7, this storm that they are in, can I say this to you? It was a very, very terrific storm, but it was a terrible storm, but it was a temporal storm. You said, preacher, what do you mean? It didn't last forever. Job went through a terrible storm, but it was a temporal storm. Our storms do not last forever. And can I just say this to you? Sometimes we allow our storms to last longer than our storms really last. Can I say that to you again? Sometimes we allow our storms to last longer than they actually last. You said, preacher, how do you get that? Because the choice that we are making in our storm, because of the actions that we are having because of the storm. Here's, if I could title what I want to talk to you about just a minute, here's what I want to talk to you about. How to stay afloat in the midst of the storm. How to stay afloat in the midst of the storm. The storms will come. I love this story. I love it. And the context, and which I'm not taking nothing out of context right here, but the context of this scripture, and one of the greatest pictures of this scripture right here is eternal security. It's once, I need some help right there now. It's once saved, always saved. Noah got in the boat, and Noah couldn't get out of the boat. Noah could not get out of the boat. Let me tell you the reason why. God shut him in the boat. If we're not careful, we will take Scripture out of context. And let me give you an example. Some people take the Scripture, where a tree falleth, that's where it lieth. And they'll say, you can lose your salvation because where a tree falleth, that's where it lieth. No, that means where a tree falls, that's where it lies. That verse has nothing to do with salvation. And right here we see one of the greatest pictures of eternal security in the Word of God. God said, Noah, preach that a storm's coming. But before the storm that destroyed mankind got there, God put them in a boat. Yes, they made the choice to get in the boat, and when they got in it, God closed the door. Amen. Hey, Noah could kick. Noah could stomp. Noah could take a saw to it, in my opinion, if he wanted to. The door wasn't opening back up. Thank God when I got in the boat, they wasn't no getting out of the boat. God let me in it and sealed me in it. Amen. In this tonight, I want to look at staying afloat in the midst of the storm. Staying afloat in the midst of the storm. How did Noah make it? How did Noah make it? Was there times that Noah wanted? I've had this question. Preacher, do you think there was times that Noah wanted off the boat? Absolutely not. Why in the world would you want to jump off the boat if you was Noah? What was you going to jump off into? You was going to jump. I just thought about this. You was going to jump off into the storm of the sovereign and die. No, he didn't want off the boat. Praise God. He was kicked back and sailing. How many's ever been to the ark? The ark encounter. Anybody ever? Man. I'm telling you, everybody in here needs to go see the ark one time in your life. I'm not saying go 427 times because it's a long drive, but go one time and see. It's amazing. It is amazing. Preacher, how am I going to stay? How did Noah stay afloat? Here's three simple things and I'll be done. Number one, Noah had a personal experience with God. Noah had a personal, look in verse number 8 of chapter number 6 of Genesis. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, preacher, how am I going to stay afloat in the midst of the storm? There's going to have to be a time in your life that there was a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking, now look up in here just a minute. I'm not talking about there was a time that I bowed down and prayed, and whenever I got done praying, man, there was 737 pieces of dynamite went off, and man, I'm going to tell you this, that, and the other. That's not what I'm saying. But I can tell you this, the night I got saved, when I bowed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me, when I stood up, there was a deep, settled peace deep down inside my soul. I went home and laid my head down and went to sleep. You want me to tell you the reason why? I knew that everything was going to be all right because I had made peace with God that night. There was a personal experience. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. Every individual that has ever lived has had an opportunity to find grace in the eyes of God. Every individual that is living today has found grace in the eyes of God. It is up to that individual whether they accept that grace and get on the boat or not. Noah made it through the storm because there was a personal experience with grace. Grace is us not getting something we deserve. And can I tell you something? Noah deserved the judgment of that day. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You and I deserve the judgment of God on our life. But we have found grace in His eyes and decided to accept His grace. And when the storms come in my life, when days come that I wonder if I'm going to make it through the day, if I'm going to lose my sanity, if I'm going to flip my lid. Now somebody help me right there. You know what I have to do? I just have to go back and remember there was a day that I was lost and on the road to hell. There was a day that Jesus came by my way and saved my hell-deserving soul. There was a moment where I had an experience with grace. And that's how we make it through the storms of this life. How did he stay afloat? He had a personal experience with grace. Brother Ryan done devotions this morning. Or not give you this because I'm going to preach it. But Brother Ryan done devotions this morning. Brother Josh, he brought something out I've never seen in John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2 is the wedding at Canaan. It's the beginning of miracles, and Jesus turned the water into wine. And we know that wine typifies joy and happiness. And he talked about how the Lord had the key to joy and happiness when he turned that water into wine. And they filled those first skins, and they took them to the governor of the feast. And the governor of the feast knew not of it. He didn't know what was in that wine skin. But you get down, it's about verse 16, 17, 18, 19, right down in there. And the Bible said this, but the servants, now I'm not quoting this verbatimly, but the servants knew what it was. The servants had been with the master and knew what was in the pot that they was fixing to give to the governor. And here's what he said. He said, this world knows nothing about the joy and the peace that the master gives. But us as the servants has the secret to joy and peace that this world needs. And it's up to us to take our picture and share it with the world. And let me tell you something. The world says, how do we smile when days are tough? Here's the way that we smile. There has been an experience with grace. Oh, yeah. Number one, he had a personal experience with grace. Number two, he had a powerful walk with God. He had a powerful walk with God. Verse number 9, chapter number 6 of Genesis. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generation. And Noah walked with God. He said, preacher, how am I going to make it in the storm? How am I going to stay afloat? Well, can I say this number two tonight? You're going to have a powerful walk with God. God is not... Can I say it this way? God's not somebody that we cannot communicate with. People ask me, preacher, how do you talk to God? Just like I talk to you. Now, I reverence him. Somebody give me a witness right there. I reverence him, but I talk to the Lord like I talk to you. The first thing that I do when I talk to the Lord is this. God, if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, I pray right now that you get it out. God, I'm sorry for it, and I ask you to forgive me for it. God, I'm sorry for that. Because the Bible said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. So the line of communication is broken, and the only way I can restore that line of communication is getting sin out of my life. He said, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So the very first thing I do is, God, if there's anything in my life, Father, forgive me for it. If it's a sin that I remember, I confess that sin openly to him. God, forgive me for that. And then I just start a conversation with him. Lord, here's what I'm going through today. I woke up and Madeline was in a bad mood. And she was fussing with Olivia, and Victoria didn't want to do school, and Miss Leslie, I asked her to cook eggs and French fries. I know y'all can't believe I eat eggs and French fries. I asked her to cook eggs and French fries, and Lord, she all but cussed me out. I need your help today. Not all days go like that, but some do. I just tell him what I need. Are you here? Lord, Miss Pam is beating up Brother Gray. And Lord, you know he talked to me in private about it, but you already know about it. Lord, Rob and Christy need your help today. You know what? Sometimes people's on your mind for a reason. You ever woke up with somebody on your mind? And you thought, why in the world are they on my mind? It might be because the Lord has got them in a storm that you don't know about, and he's needing you to talk to him for them. There's times in our life where we get to a place, matter of fact, Romans talks about the Holy Spirit making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. There does come that time where we don't even know what to pray and how to pray. But aren't you thankful that there's others that has a powerful walk with God that can talk to the Father for us? That walking with the Lord, it simulates and it deals with our communication with God. And man, we need that. I need to talk to Him and I need Him to talk to me. You had to walk with the Lord. I'm going to tell you the way that you're going to make it through the storms of this life. You're going to have to be anchored in Him and have a walk with the Lord. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but and if I do, he'll tell me after service. Me and Brother Mark was talking today, and everybody knows they've been in a little bit of storm. His dump truck got stowed over the weekend, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "man, he was just eating my life up, and it would have been eating my life up myself if it had been me." And he said, "Usually I get up early in the mornings," and he said, "I run," and I was like, "God bless you." He said, "I run," and he said, "While I'm running, I talk to the Lord." He said, "I read my Bible," and he said, "I found myself Saturday morning waking up, not reading my Bible, not running, not having my time with God, just worrying about finding that truck." And Sunday morning, and he said, "Preacher, I just come to a place where I just had to give that to the Lord, and I had to get back to my walk with the Lord." You got to have that if you're going to make it in this life, church. There's enough evil out there. There's enough heartache out there. There's enough problems out there. You better establish a line of communication with the Lord. You better establish that. He had a powerful walk with God. He had a personal experience with grace. But then let me show you one other thing. Look in chapter number 7. Chapter number 7, verse number 1 says this, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before men in this generation." Verse 16. "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Again, Noah couldn't get out of the boat. God shut him in when he got in it. He said, "Preacher, how am I going to make it?" You're going to have a personal experience with grace. You're going to have a powerful walk with God. But you're going to have a place behind the closed door. You're going to have a place behind the closed door. Can I say it this way? It's going to have to be more than a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night thing to you. It's going to have to be more than that. It's going to have to be more than religion. It's going to have to be more than church. Now, I'm all about church. I'm glad you're here tonight. You know me. I believe in being favored to the house of God. But it's got to be more than that. There's some things that I can't bring to y'all. Are you with me? There's some things that I go through that I'm not going to bring to you and I'm not going to tell you about. And there's some things that you go through that you're not going to bring to me and you're not going to tell me about. But you know what? I've got a place behind a closed door. When God saved me, He gave me access behind the closed door. And I can go before Him and talk to Him about anything at any time that I need to. You're going to have that place, that secret place, where nobody else is at, where you talk to your Father.